pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we've prayed about a lot of things. We've praised you. We've worshiped you. We've adored you this morning. We've talked about you, given testimony to your goodness. We've, by faith, laid hold of your promises and your blessings. Salvation and healing has been flowing with us this morning. Lord, we're just of all people most blessed. Lord, in this particular prayer, this specific prayer, I would pray that you bless the speaker this morning. That's me most of the time. Lord, that I'll be blessed and anointed, that all that I do and say will bless you. All that I do and say will benefit your people. We thank you for the blessing of your word, and we will use your word to bless others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today's sermon is going to be Look for the Promise, and I'm going to be talking to you more about that in a minute, and we're going to be looking for some promises through Scripture in a whole new realm. Okay, a whole new realm for me. It's just awesome. But I've asked Barbara to start with a text. She's going to read to you the first 33 verses of Job 38, and it's in a new version. It's the latest version of the King James Bible called the, Modern English Version, which is actually the latest version of the King James. There's a lot of King James. There's the original King James. I have a copy of one. You couldn't read it if I showed it to you. And then we have the King James that everybody's familiar with. It was revised in 1878. That's your most common. Most of us have one of those. Then they come along in history, and you have the King James II that came out in the 70s. And then you had the New King James. And then you had the 21st century King James. And now we have the modern English version, which is the latest King. So King James has been a busy guy. But praise God that the translators and the Bible scholars down through the ages for the last 400 years have used this beautiful translation to just keep the message coming. Amen? It's just beautiful. And so what Barbara's going to read out of this morning is the newest version of that. And it may be a little different than your reading, but it is the first 33 verses of Job 38. And the reason I've asked her to read this, because I want to hear it from someone else. I've read it a number of times myself, but I want to hear someone else read it. And it's going to help me set the sermon in order. Oh, there's so much I want to say and don't know when and how to say it yet. But I want you to look for the promises in everything we do this morning. Can you do that? Look for the promises in everything we do this morning. And I want you to keep in mind that if God is big enough to do all that he's done, he's big enough to keep a promise. Raise your hand if you feel like God has made you some kind of a promise in your life. Okay. If he can, big enough to do everything that she's about to read, he's big enough to keep your promise. So let's leave it for that for now.
Hallelujah. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, "Who is this who darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Prepare yourself like a man, for I will question you, and you shall answer me. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if you have understanding. Who has determined its measurements, if you know? Or who has stretched the line upon it? To what are its foundations fastened? Or who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sing together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Or who shut up the sea with doors when it broke forth and went out of the womb? When I made the cloud its garment and thick darkness its swaddling band and broke up for it my decreed place and set bars and doors and said, 'This far you will come, but no further. And here your proud waves will be stopped.' Have you commanded the morning in your days and caused the dawn to know its place, that it might take hold of the ends of the earth, that the wicked might be shaken out of it? It turned like clay by the seal, and it stands out as a garment. From the wicked their light is withheld, and the high arm will be broken. Have you entered into the springs of the sea, or have you walked in search of the depths? Have the gates of death been opened to you, or have you seen the doors of the shadow of death? Have you perceived the breath of the earth? Declare, if you know it all. Where is the path where light dwells? And as for darkness, where is its place, that you should take it to its boundary, that you should know the paths to its house? Do you know it because you were born then, or because the number of your days is many? Have you entered the treasuries of the snow, or have you seen the treasuries of the hell, which I have reserved against the time of trouble, against the day of battle and war? By what way is the light diffused, or the east wind scattered upon the earth? Who has divided a channel for the overflowing waters, or a path for the thunderbolt? Cause it to rain on the earth where no man is, on the wilderness in which there are no people, to satisfy the desolate waste and to cause the bud of the tender herb to spring forth. Does the rain have a father? Or who has produced the drops of dew? From whose womb came the ice and the frost of heaven? Who gives it birth? The waters harden like stone and the surface of the deep is frozen. Can you tie the cords to the Pleiades or loosen the belt of Orion? Can you bring out the constellation and its season? Or can you guide the bear with its cubs? Do you know the ordinances of heaven? Can you set their dominion over the earth?
I hear God saying, who do you think you are? Just check out what I did. Now, there's 33 little verses here that just is a drop in the bucket to what the Word of God has to say about creation and what God has done. And I wanted this passage to come forth because I want us to begin together with our mind, begin together with our heart, the greatness and magnificence of God. I mean, and what we're going to see this morning is that He did all of this for us. And when did He do it? Well, some of the things there, the snow and the ice and some of those things, we see the results, right? Results. But do we see the beginnings? No. Do we see the creativeness in the beginnings of creation? And they say, no. Time is a crazy thing, an interesting thing, because God doesn't need it. He just uses it. And He uses it for our benefit. Did you know that time was created for you and me? God doesn't need time. He was before time. He'll be after time. He's in the middle of time. He's without time. He's with all time. I mean, just, you know, He takes a licking and keeps on ticking. Or no, how's that go? He is so awesome. And I just have a strong desire this morning to somehow catch glimpses this morning, all of us to catch glimpses of the awesomeness of God. And within all that He's done are many, many, many promises. It's like He did all of this and showed us all of this and manifested all of this and created all this as a promise to us of what He has in store for us. He's saying, I have such great things in store for you, my people. And I've done all of this with creation for you. And I've done all of it as evidence and proof that I have much for you. God's not selfish. He's a father of fathers. He's not the least bit selfish. He's the Father of fathers, and everything He's done, everything He's created has been for His children. He didn't create it for the angels. He didn't create it for, you know, just for the sake of having something to do. You know, He didn't sit there in the eons of time past, twiddling His thumbs, you know. Well, there went another trillion years. Well, there went another trillion years. I think I'll pick out a 7,000-year span and do something with, what should we do? Let's call them humans. He has been so busy in the beyond, so busy in the before, and so busy in the beyond. And we're in this little 7,000-year thing where humanity begins to express Him and receive Him and be a part of Him and become like Him. It's just one of His many billions of ideas that we get to be a part of. Sometimes I bother my wife, as sweet as she is. God gave me the sweetest wife. And I know sometimes I bother her because I get to talking about what might be or what might have been. And I have to be careful because you can get lost in that and get crazy. But sometimes my spirit wants to go out there and soar. Mark can help me with this because he thinks like I do. Sometimes my spirit wants to leave the earth plane, the earth realm, and get out there with the superheroes. Now, all due respect to Superman and Batman and all these guys and their stupidity, but there is something in the spirit of the Christian that wants to be a superhero far beyond that. And our Batman stuff and the pleasures we get out of watching, you know, whatever, you know, this is just our human spirit crying out to be the superhero that God has put in us. And I get to talking about things like this and I get crazy and Barbara says, give me a break, you know. Come down to earth, let's fix dinner. Go scramble an egg instead of your brain. But there's something in me that craves and cries out for the supernatural. There's something in me that's craving and crying out for a lifting up and for an expression that I've not yet found that's within the glory of God. And at this point in time, all I can do is guess about what God may have done a billion years ago and guess about what he's going to do in the future. But listen, I got news for you. From here on, we're included. You know, we have this elementary conception of, you know, going to heaven and, you know, we start with, you know, we get right with God, we get born again, we get saved, you know, we try to walk the line and keep our nose clean so that we can go to heaven and live with grandma forever and ever, sing with the angels. And well, okay, but there's so much more than that. Oh, but I want to walk on golden streets. Okay, we'll let you do that. But there's so much more than that. Would everybody agree with me that God is a creator? Has anyone here read 1 John, what is it, 3:2 or 4:2, where he says that when we see him, we'll be like him? How about John 17 and Jesus' famous prayer where he said, Father, make them one with us and one like we are. I'm going to say something and you may want to throw rotten tomatoes and just let me know when it's coming. I'll duck. But God wants you to be like him. And according to his word, with several evidences, we can see that he wants us to become like him. Not that we will ever be God, but he does want us to become like him and into him and such a part of him that the devil can't tell us apart. See, that's what Jesus did. Jesus, the Word, became so one with the Father that the devil couldn't see the difference between them. And he said, oh my God, there's another God. And that's what's going to happen in our realm of life, whatever it is and whatever span of time takes place here in our 7,000 years. But we're going to become so much like God because of what he does, not because of what we do. We don't have anything to do with it but be willing and obedient. But what he's doing in his plan and his purpose, he's bringing us to a point in some time in history, he's bringing us to the point where we can be enough like him that the devil's going to look at Eric and say, oh my God, another one. I have to be careful of this because people, you know, if you don't understand what I'm saying, you may go down the street and say, that preacher's preaching that we're all going to be God. No, somehow you got to get this. He wants us to be like him, not him. But he wants us to be so like him that it's just like him. And if he's a creator, we're going to be creators. And so I just want to go out there and look at the stars and go, which one am I going to use to create my heart's desire? And my wife says, get back to the kitchen. Scramble the eggs. Is anybody on my page today? Thank you, Mark. God is so amazing. We have such an elementary stained glass window concept of church and God and the kingdom of God. And it is so explosive with life and creative power. And he's saying, I've got a bunch of kids that I want to train to do this. God says, he wants you so bad in what he's doing and going to do that he has actually declared in his word that you are now his body. All of a sudden, it's not God in us, it's God in us. Paul said in one place, it's Christ in us, the hope of glory. He wants to get so on the inside of you that the devil is scared out of his wits when he sees you. And it's not just in this life only. It's in the life and the ages to come because all of a sudden, now we've been born again into the kingdom of God and there's no death in the kingdom of God. Now that you're born into the kingdom of God, you can't die out of the kingdom of God. You're in it for the long haul, and it's called eternity. And you need to get excited about that and start planning. We'll start with the earth. He says we'll rule and reign with him. Once we get that right, watch out, stars. Oh, somebody just say, I love Jesus anyhow. I want to read some scriptures. Go to Psalms 102, 25, 26, 27, 28. 102, 25. This will be in the New King James, so the words will match up. Of old, here the psalmist is talking about the Lord. Of old you laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish. Oh, wait a minute. I wanted to work. Let's just go on. They will perish, but you, Lord, you will endure. Yes, they will all grow old. Like a garment, like a cloak, you will change them and they will be changed. Stop here for a minute before we go to the next verse. Have you ever noticed how the earth is getting old? What do you mean, preacher? Well, there's enough green blood in me, not to be a Martian, but there's enough green blood in me to want to see people take better care of the earth and quit wasting trees and sending me junk mail. But even though I see that there's a lot of waste going on in the earth, and there's a lot of wasting of the earth, and a lot of misuse of the earth and its resources, you know, we could go on and on without the ice melting and da-da-da-da. But the Bible says it's going to grow old. He also says he's going to change it. He's not going to do away with it. He's going to change it. He's going to cleanse it. He'll be cleansing it with fire. So you want to make sure you wear your fireproof suit. It's called blood of Jesus, shield of faith, you know, things like that. Armor of God. You make it. Don't worry about the fire because you're going to be burning with him. You're going to get so on fire for God that he'll use you as a firebrand. But even though it's going to perish, God will endure. So let's get inside of him. What do you say? And so don't worry about it. You know, take care of the earth, but don't worry about it. It's going to get old, but it's going to be changed. I don't know about you, but you're made out of dirt. Have you ever figured that one out? Do you know you're made out of the dust? If you die and we bury your body in a few years, no matter how good the casket is, sooner or later you're going to be dirt. All due respect to your, you know, your corpse, but you're going to be dirt. I'm going to be dirt. We're made out of dust. We're made out of what the earth's made out of, but it's going to be changed. How about, you know, in our respect to us, there's this thing called resurrection. Jesus showed us how it's done, and we're going to follow him. One day we'll be resurrected like him, and all of a sudden, the dust shall live. All the particles come back together. Oh. You see, eternal life is not just for my spirit, it's also for the rest of me, including my body. It's just that the body has to catch up on resurrection day. We don't know a lot about that, but we just have the hope and the sure hope of it and the faith that it is going to happen. And I'm saying amen. Let's go on the next verse or two there. But you are the same, and your years will have no... He's talking about to the Lord here. He's saying to the Lord, you're the same, Lord. Your ears have no... God, you got to help me. They're laughing at me again. What was that? Oh, the thingamajig fell. Okay, I got it. Your years have no end. Did you know God's going to last forever? Would you like to last forever? Well, join his club. Next verse. Lord, your children, the children of your servants will continue. And their descendants will be established. Be what? Established before you. Do you see a promise in this? We have a promise of change. The earth and even the dust that we're made out of, the earth that we live in, this earth suit, change. We have a promise of change. I'm promised change, you're promised change. But look at this. God's servants and their children. Now this is perpetual generational. The children and the children's children and the children's children's children and the children's children's children is perpetual. And we're going to be established. God didn't create the human race to last a certain amount of time and then disappear. We created the human race to become like him so that he can make manifest to all the universe his glory through us. Now that's a mouthful. We better go to Proverbs 8:1. Does not wisdom cry out and understanding lift up her voice? Okay, everybody say, we're talking about wisdom. Okay, go to 8:27. When he, God, prepared the heavens, I, wisdom, was there. This whole chapter, by the way, is talking about wisdom. It's wisdom speaking. Okay, that's why it's lined up like this. When God prepared the heavens, I, wisdom, was there. And when he drew a circle on the face of the deep, and when he established the clouds above, and when he strengthened the foundations of the deep, when he assigned the sea to its limits, so that the waters would not transgress his command, and when he marked out the foundations of the earth. Let's go on. Then I, wisdom, was beside him as a master craftsman, and I, wisdom, was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. One more verse. Rejoicing in his, God's inhabited world. That's not just the earth, by the way. That's a call to universe. And my wisdom's delight was with where? With who? Where's wisdom's delight? Wisdom has always been with God. And wisdom is always going to be with God. And it's one of many beautiful attributes and characteristics of God that he's calling us to. He wants us to be a part of wisdom and wisdom to be a part of us. And forever, wisdom's going to be enjoying us and enjoying God's inhabited world. Oh, wisdom's delight's going to be with the sons, and everybody said, the daughters too. I just threw that in for fun. I just think that's so beautiful that wisdom was with God when he created. When God was thinking about you, when he was thinking about creation and the human race, thinking about your great, 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 great granddaddy Adam and Eve and all that, he's saying, yeah, how can I need to do this. I need wisdom on this. Well, wisdom's right there saying, okay, we're going to do it this way. Dun, 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 dun. Everybody say, with wisdom, God created me. Say it like this. It was a wise thing that God did when he did me. And you know, your old flesh is going, God, if you knew me a little better, you'd realize it wasn't wisdom when I came along. It was his wisdom when you came along. Because he knows the end result. He knows the end result. He knows the end result. He's overlooking by the because of the blood of Jesus that you have laid hold of and claimed. And the blood of Jesus is bathing your soul. By the blood of Jesus, he's overlooking what you are now and what I am now. And he sees in the great beyond what we're going to be. And he said, these are my babies. And they're going to grow up to be like me. And we're going to watch out, devil. Let's go to Isaiah 48:12. What do you say? Say, okay. I don't know why they put the lids on these bottles so tight. I guess it was wisdom. 48:12-13. Listen to me, O Jacob. Now, God's speaking. Everybody say, God's speaking. And he says, listen, O Jacob and Israel. You know, by the way, they are the same country, right? Listen, O Jacob, my Israel, my called. I am he, I am the first, and I am also the last. Does that make God all inclusive? And in the next verse, indeed, my hand has laid what? The foundation of the earth, and my right hand has stretched out the heavens. And when I call to them, they stand up together. Can you go back to that first verse? Listen, Jacob and Israel, I am the first and the last. Now the next one again. And my hands laid the foundation of the earth. My right hand stretched out the heavens. And when I call them, they stand up. Israel and Jacob are representative of you today. You are today representative of them. You say, well, I'm not a Jew. Well, you just think you're not. According to the Apostle Paul, you are a spiritual Jew. Jew being in the sense of God's children. Okay? You know, there's the Israelites and the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Favorites, and that's us. But what he's saying here, he's saying, children, Israel, Jacob, children, children, listen. That's what he said there. He said, listen, Israel. Everybody needs to listen. Are you listening? He wants us to realize and remember that he's the one that did all this. And what I hear him saying is, if I'm big enough to do the creation thing, if I'm big enough to set the foundation of all that you know as creation, I'm big enough to keep promises to you. In this whole sermon, that's what I'm basing it on, that because I keep hearing it in my soul, my spirit just keeps radiating this message that if God can do all of that, he can do this that I need. How big is your need? Everybody raise your hand if you have some kind of a need, any kind of a need in your life. Okay, now put your hand down. How big is your need in comparison to God creating the universe? Well, if he can do that, he can do that. If he can do that, he can do that. If he can do that, he can do that. Come on, do that. If our Hawaiian brothers are here, they say, do that. He do that. I love the way the Hawaiians speak. Amen. Well, let's go on. I need to keep marching with this. Matthew 13:34. My mom's not here, so I'm going to take off my jacket. By the way, if anyone sees her, tell her I wore a tie on Easter. Where am I? All these things Jesus spoke to the multitudes in parables, and without a parable he did not speak to them, that it might be spoken which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I'll open my mouth in parables and utter things kept secret from the foundation of the world. Hang on. This scripture just told us that Jesus was opening up the secrets with his parables. Secrets kept from when? God created the earth, he created the universe, and whenever. And he said, in my creativeness, in my creation itself, I'm gonna hide some secrets. I'm going to hide some things, some truths, some nuggets. I want to hide some goodies and some juicies and some tasties. And then he sent Jesus to open those things up so we could find them and eat them. One of the main reasons that Jesus came was not only to save you, Eric, but he came to open the secrets of God's treasury so he could bless you with a billion blessings. Number one is Denise. Number two is good health. Number three is Jasmine to help. Number four is, you know, me to be alongside of you. Number five, new shoes. We cannot list the amount of blessings that are, you know, how to get on blessings. Jesus is the key to opening the secret. You want to know more about God? Oh, yeah. Go to Jesus. He's the key that opens the secret. And he opens it with what? Parables, or his word. Within the words of Jesus, within the parables of Jesus, within the teachings of Jesus, within the message of Jesus, there are multitudes of secrets that are full of nuggets from God's treasury. And they're for us. He didn't make those nuggets and those tasty secrets just, you know, to never be revealed. No, he made them so they would be revealed and sent Jesus to reveal them. And the more we get close to Jesus and the more we study about him and fall in love with him and become one with him, the more we get into Jesus and he gets into us, the tastier it's going to get, because he's going to just keep opening up those beautiful secrets. Even down here, you know, where the rubber meets the road, you know, you've been, you know, here's Ramon, he's been studying the word for years and years and years, and all of a sudden he comes running out of the bedroom saying, Melissa, I've read the scripture 1,000 times, and look what I'm hearing it say today. Another secret had just been revealed. We've all had that experience. The parables of Jesus, the words of Jesus are so full of beautiful things for us to discover. But how many know you got to dig for treasure? Where's your treasure map? Huh? Where's your treasure map? There's my treasure map. Do you have one? Everybody holds up their phone. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Maybe we better go to Matthew 25:31. We're looking for promises, right? And didn't we start out looking for promises? When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he'll sit on the throne of his glory. And the nations will be gathered before him, and he'll separate them one from another. As a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats, and he, God, will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. And watch this. And then the king will say to those on his, what? Right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit what? The kingdom, read it with me, the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. In the very beginning, let's just call it time for, you know, for lack of understanding. It's called, in the beginning of time, God says, okay, I'm going to lay out a foundation for the human race. I'm going to lay out a foundation for the kingdom of God that they will reign in and enjoy for all of eternity. Way back there when he was thinking all this up, if I can use that term with respect, when he was thinking all this up, he said, I'm going to set this up so they'll have a kingdom. We're looking for promises. What's the promise here? The kingdom's for who? Anybody here ever watched Cinderella? Okay, you know what the kingdom looks like. You know, the flowing gown, glass slippers, the pumpkin chariot. You know what the kingdom looks like. You look good, huh? Kingdom looks good, right? I mean, even Cinderella's kingdom looks pretty good. Well, from the beginning of all this, when God was creating all this and thinking you up, he said, I want her to have a kingdom, some glass slippers. See, you've been included in the plan of God for a long time. There's a message here we can get on that. We've been included in the plan of God, in the purpose of God, in the kingdom of God, in the reign of God, in the creative forces of God. We've been in his plan from a long time ago. And he's not going to come to a point one day and back up and say, well, they're just not getting it. I'm going to have to go do something else in another part of the universe. No, 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 no. He's going to do what he planned to do. He's going to do what he purposed to do. He's going to do what he promised to do. And you get to be a part of it, and it ought to make you happy. Amen. I'm smiling. John 17:24. Oh, I don't know if I can preach that and keep still. Nail me to this pulpit. I got to try to do this. John 17:24. Hey, Lord, keep my feet on the ground. Jesus prayed. How many know Jesus gets his prayers answered? Come on, does Jesus get his prayers answered? Somebody say amen. Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. And he's saying, that's when you gave me glory, and I want them to have it. Boy, you're quiet. Did Jesus have glory before the foundation, before the creation? Did Jesus have glory? Is he praying to the Father that you'll get some? Is he praying to the Father that you can be some, that you can have some? I'm trying real hard. I just want to jump up on these pews and run. I jump over you. I just jump over you. You're so little. Folks, I wish I had the words this morning to space you out where I'm at. Wish I had the words, the vocabulary, to get us all excited about we're included in his plan. It's a long-range plan. It started a long time ago, and it's going to keep on going for a long time. Even after you've, got born again and kept your nose clean and finally made it to heaven and spent a million years with grandma, it's even going to go further than that. Maybe we better go on. I just got to keep going, right? Ephesians 1:3-4. Give Peter a hand for being a good technician. Give Peter a hand for being a good technician. I had to look back twice and make sure it was Peter, because sometimes it's Sabrina or Lucy or somebody on there. Okay, 3-4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's thinking about blessing us. Huh? Wait a minute. I didn't bring my glasses in. Let's get just right here. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. And just as he chose the angels, let me get this, just as he chose the United States, that too, just as he chose us in him, when? Before the foundation of the world. See, you've been in here a while, right? You've been in his plan a while. That we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Everybody needs to fall in love with Jesus. Amen. How many times can we say this? When it all started and before it all started, You were in his plan. I think we better go to 2 Timothy 1:8 and 9. We're looking for promises. And what we just read, we get the promise of being chosen by God. Where am I now? 2 Timothy 1:8 and 9. Let's look for promise here. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God. God, who has saved us. See any promises there? Who has saved us and what? Called us with what? A holy calling, not according to our works. We didn't earn brownie points for this, but according to who? Him, his own purpose and grace, which was given to the angels? No, given to us in Christ Jesus. When? Were you in his plan before time? Is there some kind of an animated movie about before time? Ice Age or something before? Before they made that animation, you were in God's plan. Oh, Lord, help me. We have a promise here of so many beautiful things. Wow. Promise of salvation, a promise of him calling. Reuben, he called you. You have a promise fulfilled when you answer the call. Let's go to Titus 1:2. 1:2, buckle my shoe, something like that. In hope of eternal life, which God, who tells a lie once in a while. Huh? Did I read that wrong? In hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised. When? Do you have a hope? Do you have a hope? Do you have eternal life? Can God lie? Come on, everybody's answering me. He set this all up in a promise. About 28 billion trillion zillion gillion years ago, he says, I'm going to make Jasmine a promise that she can live forever with me. And one day when she's born, I'm going to bring her to the point where she will be born again. And she'll begin to enter into my kingdom spiritually. And then on resurrection day, we'll enter her body into my kingdom. Because I want her to be a part of the fulfillment of my promises for all of eternity. You are so included. You are so totally... What's a good synonym for included? Come on, school teachers. A synonym for included. A part of? Merged? You are so a part of. You are so included. You are so entered in. You are so called. You are so chosen. You are so incubated.
Not what I said, but it's okay.
I thought it would work.
Never heard that word, but you know, got whatever.
You are so hatched. You are so hatched into his kingdom that now you're a chicken for sure. Oh, Lord, help me. I don't know what to do with myself. Every once in a while, I look in the mirror and say, what am I going to do with you? Hebrews 4, 1 through 3. We're looking for promises in the scripture, all right? And we're looking specifically for promises that were made a long time ago that are still active. Is that okay? Okay, we're going to read Hebrews 4, 1, 2, and 3. Therefore, since a promise remains. You mean there's still one left? Since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. Have we, any of us, ever came short of receiving God's promise? Evidently. We better catch up to this, hadn't we? How would you feel like it if you gave the person you love the most, you gave them a promise and then they just didn't really receive it. They just didn't pay any attention to you. They just... Promises, promises, empty promises. How would you feel? How do you think God feels when we ignore his promise? It's okay if you get serious, but smile later. Okay, let's read on. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard, those in the past, did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those that heard it. For we who have believed do enter that rest, as he has said. This is an Old Testament quote in the New Testament. He has said, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, those that didn't mix it with faith, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. From the foundation of the world, he set up this place of rest for us. I don't know about you, but I could use some rest. How would you like being so at peace with yourself and peace with your neighbor and so at peace with God that you're just in 101% rest? And just, who cares? You feel like the mouse that crawled out of the empty whiskey bottle. You just... I'm sorry, I shouldn't say things like that in front of the innocents. He promised his people rest from the beginning. And he expects us to find it. And one way I can find rest and one way you can find rest is quit our stupid worrying about everything, because that doesn't change a thing. Boy, am I looking in the mirror now. He said it this way. At one point, Jesus says, did worrying ever help you grow an inch? Did worrying ever make things better? Everybody say worrying makes it worse. So I'm going to learn to quit worrying. The rest that God has for our soul has always been there since before time. And that was not an empty promise when he said, I'll give them rest. It wasn't an empty promise. It's one of his millions of promises that's just waiting for our reception and waiting for us to walk into. Every promise in the book is mine, but I have to come to it and accept it and receive it. Every promise in the book is yours. You can ignore it or receive it. I'm asking you this morning with all of your heart, get before God and say, Lord, I want to one by one, as I grow in you, I want to lay hold of the promises, because I don't want you to feel bad about me not receiving the promise. I mean, you know, let's go on. 1 Peter 1, 20 and 21. Indeed, okay, God, this is Jesus. Jesus indeed was foreordained before when? Before the foundation of the world. How many times have we read that this morning, before the foundation? It's in the scripture, brother. Jesus indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifested in these last times for who? For you. Point at somebody and say, you. Manifest in these last times for you who through him believe in God. It's through Jesus that we believe in God. God who raised Jesus from the dead and gave Jesus glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. It's all wrapped up in Jesus. You know, I've spent 45 minutes here trying to get through to myself and to you that his promises are true. They're old. They're ancient. They're still alive. They're forever, forever. You know, from the beginning and before the beginning to the end of eternity, which has no end. I mean, you know, it's God's promises are so for us. He did it all for me. He did it all for you. Point at somebody and say, he did it all for you. 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 And he said, I got to make it real to them. So I'm going to take my word, my very creative power that set all this thing in motion. I'm going to take it and bring him to earth in the form of my son, Jesus. It's so that we can connect. Jesus is the connector. In one place in Timothy, Paul called him the mediator. I like to call him the connector, because without Jesus, I can't connect to God. But with Jesus, I have a connection. Oh, what are you praying that for? You connected to God in some way? Yeah, I've got a connection. His name is Jesus. He came from the God realm into my realm so he can take me back into the God realm with him. Did you get a hold of that? I said it so fast I hardly remember it. He came from the God realm to my realm and your realm to gather us up and take us all back into the God realm with him, because he wants company in his next phase of creation. We get to be God's little elves, his little helpers, for all of eternity. So I want you to go out there and look up at the stars tonight and go, which one do I want? Oh yeah, I know that's far-fetched. But you'll thank me someday when you reach your star. Please stand to your feet. Father God, we've said a lot of things today that we hardly understand. Some things are even scary to talk about. But Lord, the bottom line is we desire, our spirits are crying out for the revelation and the truth that's in these words and in these scriptures. Lord, you set this whole thing up a long time ago for our benefit, and you expect us to take the benefit. You expect us to receive the benefit. You expect it, Lord. You expect that of us. You didn't do it for the angels. You did it for us. All creation is for us. The fact that you call us your children, your sons, it's for us. The fact that we've become your body, it's for us. Lord, you've done it all for us. Because you're the Father of fathers and the most perfect of all perfect fathers. Lord, you're the King of kings, the Lord of lords, creator of creators. You're the all in all. Lord, there's just not enough words big enough to express all that you are. But you are all that you are, that you might receive us unto yourself and just absorb us up into yourself. You want to gather us like the mother hen gathers her babies. You just want to gather us and just bring us close. Lord, I pray that you open our hearts and open our minds. Lord, in the last chapter of Luke, I believe it was, Lord, you talked about opening the disciples' understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And I'm asking you, Lord, here we are as candidates. Open to us the secrets of your treasuries, the secrets of your scripture. Open to us the treasuries of your word and the revelations and the truths that draw us ever closer to you. Father, in Jesus' name, we just thank you. We don't know what else to do, Lord. We don't have words big enough. We just say thank you, thank you, thank you for including us in your plan. Thank you that we didn't just come along as an accident. You included us in your plan. You set this thing up for us. You've called us. You've chosen us. And we just want to be obedient and go with the flow. Hallelujah. Oh, Father, you're so beautiful. You're so beautiful. Your word is so beautiful. Your truth is so beautiful. Thank you for opening secrets even today that we might know more about you and know you more intimately. Father, help us to clean up the carnality and the sin that would so easily beset us and to keep our eyes on Jesus, keep our hands clean and our mouth clean and our mind clean. Help us, Lord, to overcome the entrapments of Satan and the cares of life. Help us to be overcomers, to become more like you every day, because that's what you have called us to. Since before the foundation of the earth and time itself, you've called us and chosen us for these purposes, to be like you. And Lord, it won't all be grasped by our natural mind, but it can be received by our spirit in faith. And I just pray, give us that today, that we'll reach out and take it, receive it and embrace it in Jesus' name. Okay, well, I got one last question for you. How old are you going to be in the end of eternity? Don't try to answer that. I'm just being... Anybody get anything out of this? You know, anything? Well, I did. I got more out of it than you did, because I heard it more than once. I was so blessed when Denise opened this morning with the scriptures that she did, because she started off talking about all the worlds and all the things that God has made for us. One of the songs we sang, Peter chose the song that all creation bows before you. All what? All creation bows before God. All creation bows before. And just keep in mind, you're part of that creation, and all that creation is for you, for your benefit. Go out there and tell somebody Jesus loves them. Tell them Jesus loves you and I love you too. And I can help you find the answers to your problems. Amen. Give about 50, 60 people a big hug and a kiss. For those who can, please come back tonight at 6. We love you.
You're born in Douglas.